Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Do
Greetings to my cyberspace audience. And as always, I'm delighted to welcome my listeners to another episode of Topically Yours on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. And I'm your host, Deirdre Schuler, bringing you another artist and topic of interest. You know, I think it's always important to welcome young artists to the entertainment world, especially if they are well-rounded. And I am bringing such a person to the show today, Darren Dean. You know, and he's not here right now, but as soon as he comes in, I'm sure we'll start the show with him. So hopefully he'll call in soon. But anyway, the artist I am about to introduce you to is from Yonkers, New York. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, his name is Darren Dean. And after listening to his music, I think it's a name you're going to hear a lot about. You know, Soul Interviews, a Swedish soul music website, which I myself have a column on entitled Music Pastures, said of Dean, and this is a quote, "Darren is an independent singer, songwriter, and producer who has evoked the brilliance of original music of decades past." Well, unquote, and that seems to suggest that Darren Dean is a man of many music eras. Topically Yours is going to play some of the songs from his current CD, If These Walls Could Talk, so you can make up your own mind about his talents. Versed in hip-hop and classic soul, Darren is billed as a multi-talented MC, singer, and dancer. He is also an arranger and engineer. His spirited style earned him a coveted spotlight at the 2010 Soul Beach Music Festival in Aruba, where he opened for Mary J. Blige. And after captivating industry executives and enamoring the Capital Jazz Festival audience, Darren was crowned victor of the Budweiser Superfest 2010 Battle for the Crown of New York. He also garnered international recognition via his single, Alibi. Presently a favorite contender on the global airwaves, Dean has recorded with the UK band Real People and is also licensed under Japanese affiliate BBQ Records. He has also entered a jingle, and that's the Honda Civic Jingle Contest, where Darren plans to give 100% of the prize-winning proceeds, should he win, to cancer research and survivors. Well, Darren is not with us yet, so why not let me play another song of his, and that should delight you, and hopefully he'll be in. And, well, why not play If These Walls Could Talk? And here we go.
La 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 cutting my hair in the bathroom sink. Summer's in J.A. with my family. Mind with the places you could never know. Nights I was fighting but was all alone. Doubt in my mind but it's no surprise. I dreamed a lot with open eyes. But something that made it all worth the while were the songs inside when they came alive.
This is the independent grind. This is what happens, man. We have, like, when you're wearing 14 different hats, a lot of times these things happen. So I really apologize for that. Apologize to the listeners as well as yourself. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, let's talk about you then. Let's talk about, I believe you started off your career as a dancer.
I did indeed.
Well, tell me about that. How did you transition from dancing to singing?
Well, you know, the whole thing about it is, I mean, all the arts are really, really connected, you know. And I mean, I was basically playing a role where I was putting motion to words and motion to, I guess, sound, you know. And I was in that portion of the stage. I mean, a lot of times, I like to say there's like these sections of the stage, you know. And I mean, as a dancer at that time, I was more in a background role. And I remember one day I had been singing as a child, but I kind of like put that down once my voice changed. I kind of put that hat down and I was like, all right, you know, I'm going to go on to start dancing or whatever. But the members of the group said they needed someone to help out with some harmonies one day, and they asked me if I could sing. And I said, well, you know, I haven't done it in a while, but, you know, I can give it a shot. And the moment I stepped up into that role, I mean, the minute I got to the mic and felt that portion of the stage, it was a wrap. I mean, that was it. I was in love. And I mean, you know, it brought back all the things that I remember as a child. And then I basically just had to relearn my instrument because, you know, that's the thing, like, you know, I mean, well, man, you know, your voice changes and, you know, all of a sudden you have an entirely new instrument. You had like a piccolo flute. Now you got like an alto sax or you got like a tuba, you know, so I had to relearn my instrument.
Well, now, the name of your CD is If These Walls Could Talk. Did you write most of the songs on it?
I wrote all the songs on it, actually. You know, I'm a big advocate of songwriting. I think that's one of the arts that we're losing in this day and age, because music has taken like a really beat driven kind of perspective. You know, you have a lot of producers that, you know, let's start with the beat and whatever we put to it is whatever we put to it. And, you know, I just, the artists that I love and that I listen to, I don't really think that their songs came about that way. You know, back in the day with Motown and everything like that, they had teams of songwriters, and they sat there with just a piano and a melody. And to me, the strongest songs can be sung just like that, you know. That's really, for me, the foundation. And then at that point, you could put any beat you want, and you can remix it into infinity in the future, you know. But So I really come from a stance of, you know, the words and the story being important and also being connected to the artist, because that's the artist's story as opposed to someone who's really maybe just a good singer and has someone else writing their story for them.
Right, and they say that who better to tell the story than the singer themselves?
Exactly, exactly. And again, you know, there's no problem. I mean, everybody has their strong suits, so I don't think that every singer needs to write every one of their own songs per se, but I do think everyone has a few good songs in them, and you kind of owe it to yourself, if you are a performer of any type, to at least let people in on that realm. You know, I mean, of course they know that maybe you're a good vocalist, but what do they know about your particular story, especially if someone else is writing it that may not really even know your story either, you know?
Well, now, when you entered in and came into the show, you said that you were you wore many hats, and that's true, right? Are you also producing this as well?
Yeah, I was actually touching up some edits on our first video. That's kind of what was messing me up here. And I also did most of the production as far as engineering and things. I mean, I recorded all the vocals in my home studio, I was hands-on with all the musicians as far as putting together the project, and then, you know, of course, mixing it down and everything like that. I was, you know, it's all along the way. As an independent artist, we're not necessarily gifted with a budget, so a lot of times, you know, we do have to wear many hats, and, you know, sometimes things take longer than we would like, just because instead of hiring somebody, we got to learn it. You know, it's like, okay, I got to learn how to get that done. So that's kind of part of it. And, you know, the same thing with my manager, Miles Anthony. He wears tons of hats as well, from management to booking to, you know, he has to be my sounding board, and I got to send him stuff, and we go back and forth. So, you know, it's definitely a bit of a challenge just trying to balance it all a lot of times.
Well, you know, even artists that are out there for a while, they tell me the business of music has changed so much that if you're not wearing many hats, you're not going to get places, because there's
true.
So much, you know, jobs are, you have to be able to open yourself up to being able to write other songs and be a musician and composer and producer and you name it.
Exactly.
Because that's
and
how
I mean,
the business has changed.
Yeah, and then also you have to, you've got the connection to fans, which is absolutely brilliant on one end, as far as being able to speak directly to the people that are listening to your records and having them reach you directly. But it's also, it's a task, I mean, you know, to maintain your social websites, and you have to be on all of them. You've got to be on Twitter and Facebook and this and that and this. And, you know, all that stuff takes time as well. So there are definitely a lot of hats to wear. I mean, you know, I love it to death. I wish I could focus primarily on music, at least for a season. But, you know, it is the way it is, so we do what we have to do.
Well, now you're fairly new on the scene, but you've been out there how long?
I mean, we started this record. We probably started the process for everything we're doing. I shouldn't really say the record, because I had an EP out called The Last Demo maybe like 5-6 years ago. And then this record we've been working on for a couple of years as well. But, I mean, I've been developing myself as an artist. I mean, I want to say pretty much my whole life, because, again, I've made transitions from, you know, dance and choreography to hip-hop and as far as being an MC to a singer and a mix engineer and producer and things of that nature. So, you know, this has been kind of like a lifelong pursuit in some realms. But as far as me coming to the forefront, this album, If These Walls Could Talk, is really my first foray as a solo artist giving you my story.
Well, but did you start off as in music, what, as a kid? Or is there music in your family as well? Or what attracted you to the genre?
No, I don't want to say anything bad about my family, but most of my family is probably tone challenged in some way. So it's not a family thing per se. It's definitely just a love thing. I mean, I didn't start off like as some child prodigy or anything. I didn't start off in the church as a singer like that. My story is more just having a love for music. I mean, I probably was doing more of my choreography as a teenager. And then that just transitioned me into singing, and it really comes from just a deep love of the artists that I love and their techniques for storytelling. And you know we speak about what genre of music this is, and it's soul music to me, because it really does move your soul. Like, I mean, there there are different songs that can really just represent exactly how you feel at that time. Sometimes even let you know exactly how you feel without you even realizing it. And I think that's an amazing power, and let alone the power to get messages across that can change people's minds or make them think differently. You know, it's definitely an amazing thing, and that's kind of what drew me to it.
Well, tell me about being licensed in Japan. What does that entail exactly?
Well, the technicality of it, I guess, is just that, you know, we actually have a different CD in Japan. If These Walls Could Talk, the Japanese version has a couple of alternate cuts for bonus cuts. But we've aligned ourselves with, a record distribution company out there, BBQ Records. And what they do is they kind of man the ship for us when we can't be there. I was very fortunate to be able to travel to Japan with another artist named Angela Johnson, over the last summer. But we're not able to be there at all times. So what they're able to do is give us a presence in another place. And, you know, kind of move some units for us. And hopefully when we get enough buzz in the different territories, then that will give us incentive to make the trips to go there and also to just, you know, have a fan base just ready-made so when we plop down, we have a, you know, sold-out event.
Well, also, tell me about your collaboration on the song All in Me with independent artist Angela Johnson.
Absolutely.
Did that lead to a Japanese tour?
That's exactly who I'm speaking on, is Angela Johnson. Angela is an amazing artist. I'm on the record with her. It's personal. It was a great experience. I mean, I've been a fan of hers for a really long time. Even before I started my project, I was a fan of hers. She was in Cooley's Hot Box, and she's had her own multitude of her own solo records. So it was just really such a pleasure and an honor to be on a record with her. And, you know, when you record these things, you don't ever really know exactly how they're going to go. Like, I mean, you know, you feel good about the project, but you don't really know how far it will go, how it will be received, et cetera. But we received it really, really well. We did the Capital Jazz Festival in Maryland together. I was able to go to Japan with her. We've done tons of shows all over the place. And, you know, we even won Song of the Year on Soul Tracks, you know. So it was received really well, and it just was an eye-opening experience for me because my album doesn't really have many collaborations on it. So this was me finally getting to start to branch out, and I plan to do that in further exploits as well, because I'm just starting to get – I think the first thing I wanted to do was explain to people who I was so they got an understanding of that. And now I can start to be on a record with someone and they go, oh, we know him and we know her, so this is who they are together. Okay, that's great, you know.
But you also have a single out, or did, called Alibi?
Yes, indeed. And that's with another group called Real People, but it's a collaboration in a different sense, because in that sense it's more of a producer collaboration. There were no other singers on it. But, Real People is another experience that's been really great. They're in the U.K. They're a major group in the U.K., primarily doing, like, soulful dance music. It's really groovy stuff. And I love the U.K. because they are really, really in tune with live music. They're lovers and connoisseurs of music, and to be on their first project and do Alibi and have it to be the first single released was an amazing honor. And then the third single was actually released was Upside. So the two songs that I had on there ended up being singles, and they ended up calling me back for their second project, Golden Lady, to do a song called Sure. So we've had a really great experience with one another, and kind of like a string of hits. So I've been very, very fortunate to have that alliance with them.
Well, and also to be able to open for Mary J. Blige.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, last year was great. I'm not even going to lie. We had a lot of highlights. We opened up for Mary J. Blige and Raheem Devon in Aruba for Soul Beach, and that was actually – this is a perfect example of how amazing it is to be able to reach out to your fan base and energize them and have them support you. And basically that's what happened. We had entered a contest, and we had our fans vote, and it got us to open up for Mary J. Blige and really, really do something that I hadn't been able to do before, which was to bring my entire live band to another place, touchdown, and, you know, just be able to do what we do. And, we it was an amazing experience. We got to do our set, and we even got a little bit of extra time to do a little bit of freestyle, which is something I love to do. You know, that was great. They, when I got off stage, they said, "You got any more?" I was like, "Hey, let's do a freestyle." So that was a great experience.
Well, what was your impression of Mary J. Blige?
Oh,
did you get to chat with her?
I did not really speak to her per se because we had everybody kind of had their camps. You know, I mean, everyone was out there. Like Joe was out there, and everyone. I did speak to Raheem, but Mary J. Blige kind of came in and came out, kind of thing. But as far as her show, I mean, she's a pro. I mean, amazing pro, and she has a ridiculous catalog of music. So you sometimes forget, you know, you might remember the current stuff, and then she's pulling back from what's the 411. I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy. So it was really good to see that. But it was also amazing to realize that I had just gotten off that same stage, you know, and then it kind of brings your dream a little bit closer to you, you know, it lets you start to feel like, okay, this might not be as far off as I thought, because I was standing there a minute ago, you know, and the same 5,000 people were looking at what I was doing, and, you know, and we were received really well, so.
Especially good for a New Yorker like yourself, a guy from Westchester, right?
Indeed, Mount Vernon, New York.
Oh, all right. Yeah, we have a world audience, but I'm sure we have a lot of New Yorkers listening in, so kudos to Mount Vernon.
Thank you. I'll accept some praise from Mount Vernon while I'm here, at least. But, but again, it's not even just a New York thing for us. It's definitely a world thing. I mean, my main goal is to definitely travel and continue to bring the message out. I mean, we had a campaign that we did last year also called the Love Revolution campaign, and I got a lot of my friends and supporters and fans, et cetera, behind us, because the whole thing is to start to bring some light to positive music again, you know. And also for me, it's a personal kind of a victory to be able to do things as an independent artist and say, hey, look, you know, we're able to do this because of you as fans and because of you as people that support us, whether it's DJs, interviewers like yourself, or, you know, everyone that supports us really, really helps us to bring it to the next level. Because really, without it, I'm just a guy sitting doing music in my studio, you know what I mean, without the support. So that's really the main thing, is to, like, really continue to grow it and take it to the next level.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't like to be labeled, but how would you describe your music?
Say soul music. I mean, I say soul music, but I always say my music is more like soul music with a purpose. Not that other people's music doesn't have a purpose, but I know the purpose of my music. I know what my purpose is, you know, and that's really to start to bring light to a couple of different things, whether it's songwriting, whether it's positive information or positive messages. I mean, there's enough of the other stuff out there that I'm not worried that that's going to go away, you know, but I feel that there are certain things that we need to champion as, like, artists ourselves, like myself. I just feel like I need to bring that back to the fray. And also, I need to let people know that it's not a negative thing to have some positivity in your message. It's not a preaching thing, because some people don't like to be preached to. They feel like, look, life is hard. I just want to go to the club. I just want to party. I want to hear about, you know, fictitious stuff and fictitious activities. But I think that at the same time, you can still party to music that keeps you socially aware. You can party to music that kind of like gets your mind activated, you know, and that's kind of like what I feel like my goal is.
Well, I also think that people kind of tire of all that negativity, especially some of the rap music that is defaming women and things like that. People, there's so much negativity going on now that they do want to hear positive messages and just beautiful music.
Absolutely, and it can be fun. I think that somewhere along the line it got a bad rap for it being like, well, I don't want to hear any of that stuff. You know, I want to hear stuff with a hard beat. I had heard that for a really long time. Like certain people would criticize soul music and say, oh, the beats aren't hard enough. I can't, you know, do whatever. I can't put that in my car. I mean, these kind of things, it doesn't have to be like that. So I think that's also where I come in, because I definitely come from a hip hop perspective. I mean, I love hip hop the same way. I mean, you know, I kind of grew up more on like the golden age, I guess, of hip hop was what they're calling it now, where you did have your gangster rap, but at the same time you had your Tribe Called Quest and you had the balance. And that's probably more than anything, that's what's lacking in music right now, is just the balance across the board, you know, whether it's in soul or hip hop or whatever, it's just not balanced right now.
I agree. Well, you know what? I want to play one of your songs for the audience, and it's called Composure. You want to tell me something about that before I play it?
Sure, sure. Composure is actually the song that we have just finished a video for, so I'm appreciative that you're giving that some light. Composure is just, for me, when I first heard the music for it, I'm a big person with chord changes, so it just was something that, like, some songs take a little while to write, and some songs come instantly, and Composure was one of those songs that I think maybe I was on it for a day, and, you know, it's been in rotation with us ever since. I mean, something that we get a great response from at the live shows, so that's the scoop on Composure.
Well, here we go. Darren Dean, Composure.
Hey, oh, let's take a journey.
composure. And this is the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul. This is Topically Yours, and I'm your host, Deirdre Schuler. And today we're talking to singer, songwriter, producer, Darren Dean. And, you know, at the top of the show, I played something called Sail Through, which I like in particular. Tell me about that.
Sail Through is another one of those songs. Again, you know, it was again, I'm a really strong believer in melodies and chord structures. And I was working with great friend of mine who's on the record, Marcus Fugate, and we were just sitting around, noodling around, and he came up with some chords for the chorus, and that really just touched me. And it's funny because that song has been in circulation a little bit longer than some of the others because it was actually on the last demo project. And, you know, as a singer, sometimes you get to this space where you're like, this song feels old, you know, I've done this so many times or whatever the case is, but the response has been really great and continued to be great, so it ended up making it to the record. And it was kind of a testament to some of the things that I discuss about really wanting to make some songs that are timeless, you know. I really think that if you kind of mold around some of the greats and things of that nature, you really can come up with timeless music. And I hope that record continues to be popular and people continue to enjoy it, and it can be a timeless record.
Well, speaking of that, what is your label?
Well, Righteous Music Media is the label that we put out, you know, music under. You know, Miles Anthony and myself, we basically are a two-man team. We've partnered up to try and make as many waves as we can on the soul scene and in the music scene in general, you know. So Righteous Music Media, and people can actually listen to the music at righteousmusicmedia.com. There's snippets there, or they can go online to iTunes and download If These Walls Could Talk, the album. And my website, visitdarian.com, also has tons of information and links and, you know, the whole nine. We even have an iPad/iPod/iPhone app called This Is Darian that people can download, and that's actually free, and that has snippets of the record as well.
Well, where could they get the CD?
They can purchase it, once again, at righteousmusicmedia.com. They can purchase it on iTunes. They can purchase it at cdbaby.com. We're all over the net, Amazon, the whole nine. And, again, the album is called If These Walls Could Talk.
You know, I'm always interested in how people come up with the name of their CD. How did you toss that around for a while, or how did you come up with that name?
You know, it didn't get tossed around too long because the way it was working was I was working in the days and really only had time to record a lot of stuff at night. So most of my songwriting / recording was done probably maybe from like hours of like maybe I want to say 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. or something like that. I worked really 20 hours. So I always thought to myself, I said, man, if somebody could be here and be like a fly on the wall, you know, I want to give them the truest representation on an album of what they would hear if they came to my studio, or if they were around me during this writing process, or if they lived, like, if they were in my life, you know. I mean, a lot of the songs are really closely derived from things I've gone through. So that's really where the album title came about. Also, if you were like in my mind, the walls of my mind, that's kind of like the perspective I want to give on this record.
Well, what advice would you give young artists that want to get into the music? I mean, right now, you're talking about you have to wear many hats and it's not so easy to get it out. Well, what would you tell other young artists who think you can just write a song, play it, and it's out there? What would you tell them about the business of music and how to get their music out into the public arena?
Well, my first thing to say would be you really need to love it. It can't be something that you just think, oh, it's going to be easy and I'm just going to jump in and do it. It's definitely a job just like any other job. You have to put in the time, you have to put in the hours, and you have to be willing to do that. And you also have to be willing to, unlike some other jobs where you might not have this, you have to be willing to deal with a lot of criticism and also deal with the highs and lows that come with putting yourself out there. But the difference between a regular job also is the rewards that come are great when they do come. You know, you get to connect with people and you know, share, you know, your gifts. So my first thing would be, you know, basically make sure you love this business. Make sure you love the craft, I should say. Maybe the business is a little bit of a stretch for anyone to love. But definitely make sure you love the craft and put together your best representation of you, not the representation you think people would want to buy, not the representation of some other artist that you saw and you think is popular, but who you are, your personal fingerprint. Put that story out, because that's the one story that you will win. It's your own race. No one can race that race but you, and that will be the race that I think everyone, if everyone really went more so with their own story, we'd have a lot more unique art. So I would say do that, and once you do that, just keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. It's definitely not an overnight process.
But do they need to go out there and get something, a manager or someone to represent them like you have?
It's great if you can find someone who has your same like mind and wants to do things the way you do. But I think more important in the beginning would be to try and find out who you are as an artist. Like, what do you have to be managed? I mean, you know, I think even in coming to someone, like when I met Miles, we basically, I had things already. He basically saw something in me and said, man, that I can bring that to other people, you know what I mean? And basically we worked from there. But I think you do have to start with something, you know. You have to start, put some songs together. You know, everyone's online now. You can put stuff on your Facebook, et cetera. Some people still, whatever, it's MySpace or whatever. But get it into the public, you know, and even get it into the public to get opinions on it, because a lot of times that's how you grow. I mean, a lot of criticism that I've received throughout my lifetime has helped me to grow as an artist, and I've received it from laymen to musicians to teachers, whoever it is, you know, I mean, you have to be open to learn and open to critique in that way. But at the same time, not so open that they will sway you. If you feel passionate about something of yours, everyone's opinion is just that. It's just an opinion. So you still have to go with what's true in your heart.
And they have to put a little money aside, right, because it costs to put all this out.
They absolutely have to put some money aside. But one of the great things, the double-edged sword of technology today has been that, on the one hand, when you finally do get your product out and you've done your investing and stuff, you know, there's the file sharing thing, and a lot of people are doing that. But on the other hand, the studio that I put together when I first started versus the studio that I have now is probably a tenth of the cost and probably 100 times more powerful. So you can definitely record and do pretty decent recordings with probably the same machine that you're surfing the internet with. I mean, technology is a beautiful thing when it comes to the recording process, you know. But again, that also requires doing some research. I mean, it's not just like just having a powerful knife doesn't mean you're going to make the right cuts, you know, that kind of thing. So you do have to do that kind of research. But the money, as far as putting it aside for equipment and stuff, you can definitely go a long way on a short budget.
Well, okay. So, folks, I want to tell you that we're listening to Darren Dean, who's telling us about the business of music and also about his CD, If These Walls Could Talk. And I also want to talk about something called Vehicle for Change. So tell me about that.
Absolutely. We've been really, really fortunate with the participation, as I said, of our fan base and just the friends, et cetera. I don't like to say fans per se, because the implication is something else, when most of the time these are friends of mine. You know, maybe we're not everyday friends, but definitely the fact that they've taken such an interest in what I do, I consider them like more than just like a fan. But in any case, we've been involved in these different competitions, be it the one that got us to Aruba, to recently we were involved in a Budweiser competition, and that was in order to get money for our record that I'm working on now. And we've been very successful. So what I thought about this time around was someone told me about a competition that Honda was putting on to write a song and a jingle. And I thought, you know, we've received so much from participation of others, it would be really nice to give back. And what we want to do is basically, if we should be blessed enough to win, is to basically take the car and its proceeds and dedicate it to cancer research. I myself lost my father to cancer, which I even detail on my album. So it's definitely a cause that hits home. And I also have found through discussing this with people that so many of the people that I work with directly, whether on my project or outside, have had people that are affected by this disease. So, you know, our intention was really and is really to kind of get our love revolution started on more than just a plane of talking about it, but really being more active in it and hopefully making a big change. And this is just the beginning of these things, because this is kind of what we want to do as we move forward, is kind of bring the socially responsible message into more than just the music terms, but into just terms that people can see. They can see through our actions and be like, okay, you know, I can get behind this.
Well, you know what? Let me play the jingle so people can hear it.
Oh, that'd be great.
It's called Rapid Go.
Rapid to Go.
Rapid to Go, I mean. Sorry. Rapid to Go. And this is for the Honda Civic contest. Here we go. Jingle.
You know, the easiest way would probably be if they go to thisisdarian.com and get the link from there. The URL is kind of long, but you do have to have a Facebook account. So, you know, obviously log into your Facebook account and then hit me up at thisisdarian.com. That's D-A-R-I-E-N. And right at the top of my blog post there, you will see ways in order to, the link actually, to vote for the contest. And we greatly appreciate the support and definitely look forward to more things that we will be doing in regards to, you know, just being socially aware and getting involved, you know, on a grassroots level.
Well, I also want to repeat and mention again that you plan to give 100% of the proceeds to cancer research and survivors if indeed you win. So that's an extra incentive, folks, to get out there
Absolutely.
And vote for Rapid to Go.
Absolutely.
And once again,
I just wanted to say one thing. Just know also that in doing so, you know, one of the main things we also wanted to show is that, you know, that really if we just combine as a community, like on the Soul community, that we get a lot of things done. And, you know, that's definitely been like part of our mantra, and it's been really working. So we definitely appreciate any involvement that people give. And, again, you know, it is for an excellent cause, for a great cause. And I know it will just lead to bigger and better things as maybe even these companies see that, you know, our voice is loud when it's combined. So I definitely appreciate the support.
Well, and I think it's about time we do all come together. We're not going to make changes in the world unless we do.
That's real.
And I want to also mention that you have been awarded. You received the SoulTracks.com 2009 New Artist of the Year.
Yes, indeed.
And also the Jazz and Soul, I guess what that was in Europe, Top Track of the Year.
Yeah, that was it. Yep, I was in Europe for composure.
And as well as the SingersRoom.com Artist to Watch in 2010. Not bad.
No, not bad at all. Not bad at all. The record has been received really well, and I'm thankful to the fans and to you, you know, just for playing it and giving us the light to shine and you know, giving us the opportunity to, you know, to speak on it and just publicize what we're doing, you know. So it's definitely been a great run, you know, not without hardship, but definitely the rewards have outweighed them, for sure.
Well, you just mentioned a moment ago that we should all come together. So is your intent to continue to write music that encourages social change or brings about social change at all?
Absolutely, absolutely. My favorite artists, I mean, you know, whether it's Stevie Wonder, you know, Bob Marley, I mean, they were able to use music as an instrument for change, you know, and I think that's a power that people haven't really been tapping into as of late, you know. I mean, or if they do, they tap into it very selfishly, you know, they do it to change their own perspectives and their own futures. But I mean, it's so much bigger than that. I mean, the thing that I always tell people is, if you've got, let's just say, an impressionable individual, and it doesn't even have to be any of the youth, it's just an impressionable individual that has a set of headphones in their ear all day, and they're listening to a message constantly on repeat, it's going to start to affect the way they are and the way they move, you know. And if they're constantly listening to negative messages and this, that, and the other thing, they're going to kind of envelop that, and that's going to become part of their perspective. So my thing is to give them, to use that same opportunity to blast something positive in their ears, you know, and to give them something that lifts them up. Some of the greatest artists, like whether it be when James Brown was saying, "I'm black and I'm proud," that actually gave people empowerment, you know. And it's not a black thing, it's just an empowerment thing. So I think that, you know,
absolutely,
we have to go
to feel better about yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I mean, there's enough going on in the world that you don't even have to listen to music to know that there's enough going on that will make you feel like this is not the place to be, you know. So we need to get some more positive messages going through those earphones and those earbuds and cell phones, and even just to have people talking about it. I mean, music should be talked about as well, like what's going on in the world. The music, as far as I can tell, now is probably one of the only times when music is not reflecting what's going on in the public arena. I mean, if you were to listen to music, you would really not know what's going on in the world, you know, as opposed to during the 70s and the Renaissance. I mean, whenever these periods were, they were, the music kind of painted a picture for the time period.
Well, so, Bob Marley was really good at that.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know,
was it you that said you feel music commands responsibility?
Absolutely, I definitely do. I mean, that's the thing about it, is that once you take on this role as a musical ambassador, or someone said to me, you know, you're almost like a minister of music, and that's not from a biblical standpoint, but just from the standpoint that you are kind of like, you're the forefront. You embody this message, your personal message. There's a responsibility to that. I mean, you'll be judged based on how that is. And I'm not getting into biblical stuff, you know, Armageddon, whatever. I'm just saying, this is who you're putting out there to the universe, so you'll be judged appropriately, you know. And I think that you owe it to yourself and to the people that listen to you to have at least some responsibility in the things that you say, you know. There's things that you would not say in a public forum, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't say them as a musician, but they shouldn't be glorified all the time. You know, you can mention things, but to glorify certain things all the time, for me, is just, it just becomes too much.
I agree. And also, sadly to say, the time has come that we must end the show. The clock has ticked down to the hour. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
It's been a great pleasure of mine to be on with you as well, and I greatly appreciate all the support, opportunity, everything. Again, sorry about the little incursion on the time in the beginning, but again, all these hats, I'm like looking at three hats that I got to put on in the next couple of minutes as well. So, you know, thank
you
for taking out the time.
You made it. That's all that counts. And you did. And so I want to thank you again. And we've been talking to Darren Dean, and this is the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul. As always, I'm your host, Deirdre Schuler. And once again, I want to thank my audience for making my topic topically yours. And well, we're going to end the show with one more of Darren's songs, and that is going to be, well, it's just appropriate, Love Revolution.
All right.
Thank you again, Darren.
Thank you so much.
Can we face the horror? Open the way today and make that change for tomorrow. Come on, come on.